राधाकुण्डं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगणरघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं व्रजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देव श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणरघुनाथं श्रीकृष्ण कृष्ण 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 Vishnu Sahasranam, 685, Stava Kriya. Stava means glorification, formal, particular form of glorification, and Kriya means one who likes. So he likes to be praised. He's a person, he's not a non-entity. Non-entity means has no existence. Some religious systems say that God is so great, he's completely beyond our imagination anyway. Not a person, definitely not a person. That's the worst thing. You offer prayers to him, say that he's all power, but you can't really say he's not a person. But he is a person. That is a central point that Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again and again and again. In his pranam mantra, we praise him, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaptadesha Time. He has delivered the Western countries from impersonalism and voidism. To understand, he is a person, he's not a person like us of petty desires, but he is a person. He has feelings. He likes to be praised. He likes to be praised. He likes to be praised. Not that he's a petty fool who wants to be glorified beyond his actual level. I can give some example in this regard. It just came to my mind. Well, it stuck in my mind. This is an incident from many, many years ago. Traveling on a train in India, and there were some young men from Pakistan sitting just opposite to me. They must have been Pathan men, big. They were speaking with some Indian young men, glorifying Imran Khan, who is now the Prime Minister of Pakistan, and at the time was the greatest cricket player in the Pakistan national team. So they were glorious. They're supposed to be Muslims, but and Muslims are only supposed to praise Allah. They're not even supposed to praise Muhammad. Not supposed to worship. They say, Imran, he's a superman. What was his glory? Batsman, do you know? Bowler. You're either a batsman, a bowler, or a wicket keeper, a fielder. He's famous as a batsman, right? So he was expert in whacking a ball with a piece of wood. And because of that, Superman. So that's overpraise. Overpraise. And because he is a man and not a superman, his ability to whack a ball has faded away. He's an old man now, I guess. He must be 60 something. Any idea? 60 something. Maybe a little less, 50 something. So, even that ability, well, it was super in the sense, super means greater than or above. So he was greater than the average person. He was more than an average batsman. He was a greater, but so what? And whatever ability, it's faded away in the course of time. I saw in Back to Godhead magazine some cartoon commentary on the Olympic Games. There are three frames in the cartoon. One of them is some sportsman on the pedestal with number one. And there's, you can see the commentator with this typical sports commentator look on his face, praising him like anything. And the person who's won the gold medal is just completely blissed out. And all the cameras are pointing at him. And in the second frame, you can see that the person who's won the gold medal, he's still, but everyone else is walking away. And in the third frame, he's looking around and there's no one there. He won the gold medal, and immediately they go, and now for the next event. And he's running faster than everyone else. It looks like he's going to, someone else is coming up here. He did it. He's going to. Flag, photo finish. Oh, yes, you want to go? Gold medal, play the national anthem, and then on to the next. And he goes on. You have to go from person to person to person. Well, Krishna, you can just go and praise him. You don't need to go to anyone else to pray. Just praise him. No need to praise anyone else. And he's pleased with it. But it's not that there's no question of overly praising him. To call Imran Khan a superman, maybe it's but it's overpraise. To think that he's some kind of divine being or something like that, which I'm sure he himself would agree to. In some ways he's actually, dare I say, quite a sensible person, appears to be. Then Krishna is pleased. He's pleased to see the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul is suffering in the material world. Krishna is not happy with that because he loves all his parts and parcels. So when he sees they're praising him, oh good, they're making some progress. They can start to come back to him. Praising is the beginning. Maybe not out of love. Stop! Yeah, I'm just saying that because Lokanath Maharaj, he sometimes said the first thing the Prabhupada ever said to him, because he was going like this with his foot. Stop! So you stop doing that. So it's first thing. It's good instruction. Stop, stop everything which is not Krishna conscious of. There's more than just stop. Shaking your leg. Just stop. Stop all that nonsense. It's implied. Bhatta, Sri Bhatta, Parashara Bhatta, the original Sri Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, he points out that the praise of him, because these names, Stava, Stava Priya, Stotra, Stota, they all overlap in their meaning. So Parashara Bhatta in his commentary points out that anyone who praises him in any manner, even in a negative way, how can you praise him in a negative way? Well, for instance, we find Vishwacharya Thakur, especially in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, when the demons are insulting Krishna, then Vishwacharya Thakur, by his being himself favored by Saraswati, he understands how Saraswati puts the words into the demon's mouth, so that even though they intend to insult Krishna, actually if you understand it in another way, they're actually praising him. And an example is Shishupal. He said to about Krishna, Adham, which means the lowest. But another meaning is that he makes everyone lower than him. So in another way, they're praising. Then Indra, when he was insulting Krishna prior to the Govardhan Leela, Vajala, he's talkative. Yeah, Krishna, it's true, but he doesn't talk nonsense like Indra in this instance. Balanam, he's just an inexperienced boy. Yes, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears as an innocent cowherd boy. So even those who they may intend to insult him, it actually comes up because it's not actually possible to insult him. You can try, but it doesn't work. The devotees will find some way to make that real and fitting. We can praise him in any language. And even namanya nantasya yashom kitaniya, even if it's imperfectly composed according to all grammatical rules, that will still be effective. In the Vedic hymns, they have to be exactly chanted, exactly properly to be effective. But in praising Krishna, it's the attitude that Krishna accepts, the attitude of praise. Who wants to praise him, that will be accepted, even if they don't properly know how to do so according to the proper rules of Sanskrit diction or whatever it may be. In this regard, there is a verse that Pandit Kahe, no, Murko Badati Vishnaya. Pandit Badati Vishnave. Ubaya tu samapunyam bhavagrahi janana. So when we say offering prayer to Krishna, so what do we say? We say, Om for Vishnu, what do we say? Om Keshavaya Nama, Om Narayana Nama, Om Madhavaya Nama, Om Govindaya Nama, Om Vishnaya, is it?
Vishnave.
Vishnave. It should be Vishnaya, isn't it? Narayanaya, Madhavaya, Govindaya, Keshavaya. It should be Vishnu. But it's an exception. It's a special case. So a fool, or one who doesn't know properly, he'll say Vishnaya. And someone who knows the rules, he'll say Vishnave. But both get the same pious result because Krishna accepts the feeling, not exactly the words. That doesn't mean we should deliberately don't bother to pronounce everything properly. Because if we actually have a feeling for Krishna, we'll want to say his name properly, not mispronounce. But errors due to ignorance or inability to pronounce properly, just like the Chinese devotees, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Kaupan. In their language, there's no R sound, so they say L, Hare Krishna. Krishna will accept. The Spanish devotees say, Yai Prabhupada. They don't have J, they don't have the J sound. So they say, Yai Prabhupada. All right. So even, he's so greedy to be praised. He so much likes to be praised. Just, all right, you make a start somehow or other. If one comes to Krishna, he accepts. In this regard, there's quite a well-known anecdote. Srila Prabhupada, in 1966, lecturing in the storefront at 26 Second Avenue, New York City, when an alcoholic, a bum means completely down and out, lowest of the low kind of character, walks in mumbling something incoherently, walks in and puts two rolls of toilet paper, puts it down and mumbles something and walks out. So he started his devotional service. He offered something. Now, toilet paper. Prabhupada doesn't use toilet paper. He actually wrote a letter to one of his acquaintances in India about his early experiences in America. See, after passing, they wipe their backside with paper. It's such a funny idea. You wipe your backside with paper and then you pull up your pants and walk out. And no idea of bathing. So Srila Prabhupada found this all rather strange. But he started his devotional service. Because something that's completely useless to Prabhupada. He's not going to use toilet paper. But anyway, he wanted to give something. All right, I say. Again, one shouldn't, if you're going to give something, you should think how to give something of some meaning with it. Another occasion, one devotee gave something, I said, gave to Srila Prabhupada some pair of socks which were baby size. And Prabhupada said, this is a useless gift. What's the use of giving it? It can't be used at all. So when one is in a very low level, you may accept any service, but then one is supposed to come up. It's not that someone's been initiated for 20 years and he hears about this and thinks, oh, really? And then, okay, he goes to the store, buys some toilet paper and offers it to his guru. No, he should give something useful. So, Parasha Bhatta states that, yata katanchit, in whatever manner one praises him. Yaya kadachit bhashaya, in whatever language, even in negative or imperfectly composed language, yena kenapi, by anyone, including those who are not even meaning to praise him or denigrate him. Tejas karatiras karopiva, either in praise of his qualities or in negative terms. Stava priyatama asya iti stava priya. He accepts them as praise of him, because these actions are done while thinking of him. And Parasha Bhatta gives an example from the Puranas. There is that question came this morning about the Shruti and Smriti. Well, the Puranas are part of the Smriti. So Purana means very old. It also means Puriyati Iti Purana, that which makes complete. So the teachings of the Vedas, they are demonstrated in the Puranas, and Parasha Bhatta, in this regard, gives the understanding of the meaning of the name Stava Priya by referring to the narration of Ganta Karna. Ganta means bell, and Karna means ear. So Ganta Karna was such a demon that he hated hearing the name of Vishnu. So what he did, he put little bells, one on each ear. And as soon as he heard anyone begin to say Vishnu, he shook his head. So the bells would ring, and then he wouldn't hear the name of Vishnu. But in order to make sure that he wouldn't hear the name of Vishnu, he's always listening carefully. Then we're going to say Vishnu, and in this way, anyone going to say Vishnu? This way he's always thinking of Vishnu. And that was constant meditation on Vishnu. And so for this, he got mukti. He got liberation from material existence because he was always thinking of Vishnu. And the example, he also gives the example of Shishupa, whose whole being was absorbed in hatred of Krishna. So from the very beginning of his life, he was simply insulting Krishna. When he was a baby, usually the parents, they're waiting. What are the first words that the baby will say? In the case of Shishupala, I hate Krishna. Something denigrated away. So from the beginning, and his mother thought, oh, now he's going to get in trouble because Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So I said, well, could you forgive him? How many times? Okay, I'll forgive him 99 times. 100th time, he killed him. But he was always meditating on Krishna, so he got liberation also. In the Bhagavata, it's also that verse is there. Sanketam parihasyam va stovam helanam evama vaikunta nama grahanam asheshagaharam viduhu. People who are knowledgeable, who know the actual import of the Vedic literature, they say that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else. So, like for instance, in England, in English language, where you have you can, instead of having a washing machine in your house, you can go to the place that's like a shop where there are washing machines, and you put the coin in, and then you put the soap in, and then you put your clothes in, and then it washes your clothes. So where that shop is called a laundorama. Do they still call it that?
Laundrette.
Laundrette, now. Some demon went and changed it to laundrette. It used to be called the one name for it, laundorama. Cinerama. Rama, Rama, Rama. No, they're not thinking of Rama, the Supreme Lord, but the name Rama comes. Or it may be to indicate someone else. Here we have Narasimha. Who is Narasimha? Who is Narasimha? Go back in time, how long? 25 years? And all over the world, the name Narasimha is famous. You know that name Narasimha is famous all over the world. The name Modi is famous all over the world, right? You all heard of the name Modi? Modi, Modi? Modi? You all heard the name Modi? Bangalore. Prime Minister of India. Certainly, it would be hard to find anyone in India over the age of 6 or 7 years who hasn't heard the name of Modi. He's an important figure in the world. But about, how long, 25 years ago, the Prime Minister of India was P.V. Narasimha Rao. So his name would come in the newspapers. Narasimha. So people would say, Narasimha, welcome to our country, Mr. Narasimha Rao. They had no people, they had no idea outside of India that Narasimha refers to the Supreme. They were chanting the name of Narasimha. That counts. Krishna comes. Hey, so that's why it's a good idea to give children names of Krishna so that directly or indirectly they'll be chanting the name, they'll hear the name, others will call their name. So even in joke, if we say it's a joke, it may be. When we're on Harinam Sankirtan, it doesn't happen so much. It used to happen a lot in the past. People would ha 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 ha, Hare Krishna. In America, a big festival is Halloween. When people dress in fancy dress, they dress as, they look like monsters or Hare Krishnas. Some people might dress as Hare Krishna and pretend, and then they chant in the streets, imitating. As a joke, but they get the same benefit, or they get freed from sinful reaction. Musical entertainment. We don't recommend chant Hare Krishna as a musical entertainment. But even if you do it like that, you won't get prema bhakti by if we're thinking we'll do it as a musical entertainment. But one who does it even as a musical entertainment, they won't get prema bhakti, but they may get free from unlimited sinful reactions. Or even neglectfully. Even if we neglectfully chant our language, not thinking, still, we won't get love of Krishna. We'll get free from sinful reactions. So it's always auspicious. But the real auspiciousness is not simply to get free from sinful reactions, but to be situated in pure love of Krishna. So even if we don't mean to praise him, we don't really have any idea what we're doing, but he's so kind. He's so kind that he accepts it. Oh, he's chanting my name. That's nice. That's nice. Just like if we're just walking and some people are standing inside and we hear they're saying our name, they're talking about me. Oh, what are they saying? We become very interested. Is it not? If we hear something, what are they got to say? Oh, yeah, oh, someone's discussing about me. See these emails about me. Oh, what have they got to say? They may be blaspheming or criticizing you, but we become interested. If they're criticizing someone else, we may not be so interested, but they're criticizing us. Oh, what are they saying? Oh, I saw some email in which they're criticizing. Oh, man, I'm very interested. So even Krishna becomes interested, that even if someone's blaspheming him, what have they got to say? And what to speak of prayers that are offered with faith and submission, even without full knowledge. Just we see Muslims, there are many who actually follow five times a day or three times a day if they're Shia Muslims. They bow down and pray to Allah. It's not going to go in vain. There is Allah. We don't call him Allah usually. We call him Krishna. But those prayers are offered. There's some, we can't say it's just some mechanical formality that they're doing. It may be in some cases, but even then they're doing it. As a child, my mother, she used to make us all sit down and say this, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. I don't even remember it. We had to say on the rosary all together. I don't remember the prayer. I didn't like to do it. I thought, what a waste of time. But anyway, I had to do it. So I have more important things to do, like playing football. But she forced us, and she was really into it. She was a really, really devout Catholic. So she really believed in God, Mary, and all this. So some, you can't say that there's nothing there. Krishna is pleased. He may not be so pleased as with the pure devotees who are in full knowledge of him, but he accepts prayers to the degree of the sincerity with which they're offered. They don't go unacknowledged. It's a common thing we find in Christianity that they say prayers, the power of prayer. Prayers do not go unnoticed. Many people experience that in Christian, Hindu, whatever they mean. You pray, God reciprocates. They may have materialistic prayers. So even without full knowledge, and even if the system of religion, like Christianity and Islam, it's mixed with the mode of ignorance, strong admixture of the mode of ignorance, inasmuch as killing animals, they celebrate their festivals by killing animals, especially in Islam. But some approach to God is this. Srila Prabhupada always said, they're better than atheists. They're much better situated because there's some beginning. Still, we have many things to teach them. Who is God? How we should serve him, without any personal desire. We have many things. But we find in the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, the first commandment that God gave to the Israelites, to love God with all your heart. It's a call to pure devotional service. You may not understand that, but to love him with all your heart is actually a call to pure devotional service. All one's heart means to have no other desire. If it's all your heart, then there's nothing left. It's all for him. So it's actually a very good instruction. But how to fulfill that, they can learn. But we find there are so many, so much inspiration in God-given inspiration. Just discussing this, I've said many times. I only visited Italy, I think, two or three times. But the whole country is an architectural marvel. That every village has beautiful churches, inspired by God. It's inspired for the glory of God. There's one American Catholic theologian. I don't remember his name now. He's a Dutch name, but I don't remember it now. He's very old. Maybe he died now. So he was raised as a, not Baptist, some Protestant denomination, which is very anti-Catholic. That's what Protestant meant. They protested against the Catholic Church. They had reason to protest, no doubt, at the time. So he always heard how bad the Catholics are. And then he visited, as a young man, he visited for the first time in his life a Catholic cathedral in New York City. Maybe that's St. Patrick's Cathedral. And he was overwhelmed by the beauty. And he thought, this must be inspired by God. They've got something here that we don't have in our Protestantism. And then he became Catholic, and he became one of the greatest theologians, Catholic theologians of the modern age. I should have researched it more, gotten his name. Anyway, you get the point. Even the very word hymn, if you think of the word hymn, H-Y-M-N, you must have the same word in your language, is it? Is hymn, something like that. The very word has connotations of offering prayers to God with great respect, reverence, profundity, reflecting on the greatness of God. And there are compositions by great composers, Johann Sebastian Bach, Handel, they composed works, musical works of art, in praise of God. Paintings, there's a famous painting by one of the ISKCON artists of Mother Yashoda holding Krishna, or baby Krishna. It's modeled on the famous Madonna and Child theme, which is painted dozens of times. The most famous one is by Raphael, isn't it? But there have been dozens of, it's a recurrent theme in Western art, before the age of secularism, and then later on you get Picasso, and there's a lot of difference between the beautiful works of art praising Jesus and this desperate madness of Picasso and Van Gogh, and just a lot of difference. One is devotional, the other is mundane, and one raises the spirit and the other degrades it. Picasso's art is an expression of his jumbled mind and very low consciousness. They say, express yourself. In such a case, better don't express yourself. Better to glorify God. Instead of expressing myself, my ego. Modern art means you put your ego on a canvas. Or not just on a canvas. I'll tell you, I'm telling some of the anecdotes from my own life. So one time, driving in Philadelphia, the state capital of Pennsylvania in the United States, a major city in the United States. So we're driving through a good area, that means all the buildings are neat and clean. I saw another building, and there's a lawn, and there's a whole bunch of garbage on the lawn. I thought, how is that all of a sudden? How did they allow that? And I saw the sign, Museum of Modern Art. It just looked like a bunch of scrap had been, but that's modern art. So this art, previously all the art, music, everything was for the glorification of God. And it might have been a little gross also, because a lot of it was with the angels with their swords and this and that. And it was for glorification of God. So something you can't, something meaningful is there, no doubt. And Srila Prabhupada brought real knowledge of God to the West for the first time so that people can actually learn to glorify God in the best way. I heard one man who was speaking that he joined the choir singing hymns. Now, he didn't believe in God, but he just thought the music was nice and gave a good feeling. So that's, he's also, but he, in the choir means you have to praise God, right? So even though he doesn't believe in God, he's praising God, at least verbally. Professional kirtaniyas in Bengal, they're also, they're not atheists. They're professional kirtaniyas. They make a living by singing in an artistic, stylized way. It's not good, because one should praise Krishna simply to praise him. But still, it's better than singing some, because the very form is praise of Krishna. Even if it's not properly done, it's still much better than some egoistic kind of art which has no connection with anything, with reality. And the music, since the Second World War, the music has just become more and more more and more degraded, tamagun. All, everything that goes on in the name of art. Otherwise, everything, all art, that's the, it's supposed to be the expression of the human spirit. It's meant for glorifying him, not for anything else. And when that's done, he's pleased. One commentator on this name, Stavapriya, says that he becomes pleased. He likes the people are praising his qualities, but the main thing is pleased. I already made this point. They're putting the jivas who have been misusing their senses since time immemorial are now properly utilizing their senses for praise of him. So like I was talking about art. So there's visual art, paintings, sculpture, architecture, that can all be used to praise him. Or it can be used for something completely useless. Just sense gratification. Just like the cinema, or so many YouTube videos, entertainment. It's just for indulging our senses. But actually the senses should be engaged in the service of the master of the senses. So visual art, audio art that we by hearing his glories spoken, sung, art in the form of food, we make very nice food to offer to Krishna. It's also important not just to taste nice, to make it look nice also. You put on the plate for Krishna, you don't just throw everything here and there, arrange it very nicely. Everything done for his pleasure. And when that tendency is perfect, that everything we do, all our thoughts, our actions, our deeds, our intentions, our ambitions, our desires, are only for his praise, then that is the perfection. He becomes very happy. And he becomes pleased, and we become pleased. Yasmin tushte jagat tush. By his pleasure, the whole world can become satisfied. But he likes that will become completely immersed. He likes to be praised, not just a little. He wants us to He wants us to completely dedicate ourselves to praise him at every moment. He likes devotees to chant and sing, raise their hands in worship of him, in kirtan. But that mood, the more there is actual love, surrender, the more he becomes pleased. And the result of that is that when he is pleased, Then, when he is pleased with us, then we become free from all lower desires, from the lower modes of nature, from anger, from envy, from hatred. We become purified by glorifying him. We become evam prasannam, so bhagavat bhakti yoga. We become very pleased in the mind by yoga. By yoga means to link with him in devotion. So, of course, real and perfect praise is by real and perfect devotee, but there's a beginning. We go further and further and further. We can praise him more and more and more, with more and more depth and feeling. And if we, the more we praise him, then the more we lose the tendency to praise others. To praise anything except him. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on this thing, says he becomes greatly pleased when devotees sincerely describe his glories and chant his holy names. So, some quotes in this regard. From Srimad Bhagavatam, a verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that his guru taught him, and it's the essence of all spiritual instructions. Evamrata sapriyanama kirtya jatanurago durta chitta uchai hasatyato roditi rauti gayatya madhava nrittati lokabhaya. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. So when one becomes completely absorbed in praising Krishna, then he forgets everything else. He doesn't care about praising anything else in this world. He doesn't care about being anti-praised or defamed by others for being so much, he's so much absorbed in praising Krishna that common people think he's a madman and insult him. But he doesn't care. Gurudev Kobe Tava Karuna Prakash. There's a song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur which begins, Gurudev, when will you show, when will your mercy be manifest upon me? So he goes through so many things. And at the end of the song he says, Vishayi Amare Pagala Valaya Ongete Dibekadui, that the greatest manifestation of your mercy is when common people call me a madman, the materialistic people, they call me a madman and throw dirt at me. Great. Now I got the mercy of my guru. That's it. So from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Priya jodi mana kare kare bharchana veda stuti hoite hare shei marman. Krishna speaking. If my beloved consort, female, approaches me in a sulky mood, kare bharchana, if it rebukes me, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. So Krishna's being praised by the hymns of the Vedas, and in the meantime, his wife is, ah, oh, you don't love me. Oh, he likes that one. We can imagine, by way of analogy, a king is sitting being praised, and all people are praised, and he's used to that, and it's good, he likes it, good, they're praising me. In the meantime, his wife comes, you're always sitting here, you don't give me enough time. Oh, becomes concerned. She's insulting him, but he becomes more concerned with that than with the people who are praising him. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, regulated principles in devotional service are meant for those who have not invoked their natural love of Godhead. When natural love arises, all regulated methods are surpassed, and pure love is exhibited between the Lord and the devotee. Although on such a platform of love, the devotee sometimes appears to predominate over the Lord or transgress regulated principles, such dealings are far more advanced than ordinary dealings through regulated principles with awe and veneration. A devotee who is actually free from all designations due to complete attachment in love for the Supreme exhibits spontaneous love for Godhead, which is always superior to the devotion of regulated principles. Hare Krishna. So that's name 685, Stavakri. Any question about all this?
Thank you for the lecture.
Thank you for the lecture. It became a ritual to say that. It's nice, but it's part of, actually, here, you know, it's part of the Western, you have to say thank you all the time. In Vedic culture, you don't say please, thank you, it's understood.
The next time I'll get it up. Yeah. My question is, you spoke about this kirtaniyas in Bengali, this
professional Bengal kirtaniyas in Bengal and now all over the world, professional yes. Kirtaniyas.
And you said it's better that they glorify Krishna without earn money, and we have in our movement some kirtaniyas.
We have professional kirtaniyas.
And also some Buddhist Buddha, they maintain their family.
They maintain, some people maintain their family by book distribution. Srila Prabhupada specifically authorized those.
Yes. And
distributing books to maintain your family is glorious. It's a glorious way to maintain your family because you could sell other things which are much easier to sell and make money much more easily. So if you distribute books, that means you're serving the mission. It's not easy to sell books. It's easier to sell apple pies or probably anything except Prabhupada's books. It's easier to sell manure than sell Prabhupada's books. In this area, manure, you know, that's for fertilizing. That's the all the chicken manure, the chicken SHIT. What do you call that? What's the good word for that? Chicken droppings. Yeah. You could sell it here in this area to the farmers. Farmers always want manure. So you could sell stool probably using selling droppings. So anyway, even if someone does with a pecuniary motive, they want money, still they're getting the books out. It's valuable. But it's definitely better to chant Hare Krishna even with some mundane motive than to chant something completely bogus and mundane. But on the other hand, that chanting for money is much condemned. It's another perspective, right? You know, was it half empty, half full, and all this kind of thing. So another perspective is that you can do the same thing with a different attitude and you can get love of Krishna and all you're getting is some money. What a foolish thing to do. If you can get pure love of Krishna and all you're getting is some pennies, that's foolish. So from one perspective, yeah, it's great. It's much better than other things. From another perspective, it's stupid and offensive. Yeah.
Yeah. When you said Krishna is Bhavagrahi, and when it comes to Hare Krishna Mahamantra, some people say Ramo, Ramo.
Some people say Ramo, Ramo.
Well, I heard
Bengalis say Ramo, Ramo. Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, 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 Hare Hare. And there, yeah, there's one devotee, what's his name? Palaka. My man called Brother Palaka. Very strong on the point. Why are you saying Rama? Should be Rama. Actually, according to Sanskrit Purans, it should be Rama. And apparently, although there's no hard or solid record of it, Srila Prabhupada is very much against the chanting of Rama by non-Bengalis. You can't fault Bengalis for that. If it's done in imitatively of Bengali kirtanis, then what's the point? Srila Prabhupada was, to superficial appearances, a Bengali, but he didn't chant Rama, he chanted Rama. But again, if we're doing anything done superficially, is obviously it's not the real thing. So if we're superficially imitating Bengalis, why? Why should we do that? That's not the right. On the other hand, somehow or other, if they're chanting. Again, it's two perspectives.
So, Hare Krishna.
One more question.
Something not Hare Krishna, but in previous name that you were explaining, you say Vaman Devs, nursing. That group, an idea in my mind, we fast on their appearances day, but we don't do anything on the Parashuram's appearance day.
We don't do anything on Parashuram's appearance day. Or Buddha. Buddhists do. It's a big day. Buddhist. Vaisak, they call that. Buddha Purnima. Comes the day after Nrisimha Chaturdashi. Didn't come this year, exactly, because there was no Purnima. No exact Purnima this year. So that's the day of his birth, his enlightenment, and his passing away. Happened on the same tithi. So we don't celebrate that. Buddhists celebrate it. Well, let's have a look. There's Matsya. What do we do? Kurma, do we celebrate? Maybe at Srikakulam, there's this Kurma temple in South India. Varaha Dvadashi, we observe. Narasimha is number 4. Number 5 is Vamana, we celebrate. Number 6 is Rama. No, number 6 is Parashuram. Number 6 is Parashuram. Maybe there are Parashuram temples in Kerala. Maybe they celebrate something. The number 7 is Rama. 8 is Balaram. 9 is Buddha. And 10 is Kalki. So some we celebrate, others we don't. We don't even know the appearance day of Matsya. Maybe someone knows. There are not many temples either. Some avatars are worshipped more than others. We celebrate the appearance of all these avatars every day by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Ete Chamsha Kalapumsa. Krishna's two Bhagavans. Krishna, all the avatars are there. Krishna. So when we praise Krishna, we're praising all of the avatars. But we can also meditate this. The Dashavatar Stotram is praising the 10 avatars that we can do. We can sing that. Hare Krishna. So that's the last session of this Shravan Kirtan camp. And it will go on. Shravan Kirtan will never end. Until our Kalpa.